here in a couple places in Peter. More or less, this is a teaching lesson, not quite a preaching lesson. So we're going to be looking at some scriptures, and as the case, when that happens and you can't follow along, don't, just listen, because I have to follow along. So I'll share what I'm reading with you as we go through. We're in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll look at something a little bit different here. 2 Peter chapter 3. We want to learn a little something here. That would be in Job 3. Before I read that, I'll quote you a verse in Job chapter 34. The Bible says, when he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? And when he hideth his face, who then can behold him, whether it be done against a nation or against a man only? And that's a wonderful verse that God uses to show people his dealings with, on a national level, have an application to people within that nation on an individual level. And that's kind of what we want to get a hold of, some of that stuff today, as individual Christians. And a comparison to an error and a fault, I think, in patriotism, where it goes to an extreme at the expense of God's glory. We're going to preach a message, deliver a message, kind of a teaching message, called Old Glory. When I say Old Glory, what do you think of?
The flag.
I'm going to be taking a different look at it. The Bible has a view of Old Glory. I'm going to show you the same thing we've done on a national level exists on an individual level in Christians' concept of loyalty. But 2 Peter chapter number 3, you look at verse number 12. This is the end of Peter's writings. We've gotten through the book of Acts. The race to determine who's going to sit on the right hand and the left hand. Who's the big cheese. Who's the anointed one of God that's over others? It's all over with. He's been humbled and been given an understanding of the cross. It took him a number of years. A number of years to get hold of. I mean, I know he walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. And was taught by Jesus Christ, privately tutored, along with 11 other apostles. Amen. But it took a number of years after that, like over 10 years, like over 12. It took God converting another man and revealing something to another man that Peter kind of despised the vocation of that other man. Say, what was he? He was a Pharisee.
Yeah.
His name was Paul. Well, his name got changed to Paul. It was Saul. But God had to change Saul's heart, dealing with him initially through people that he might have looked down on and despised. He was a fisherman. Smelly, stinky, stained fisherman. And God deals with all of us in ways to humble us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, look, Peter says, looking for, now look at that word looking, because that was the problem with Lot's wife. There's nothing wrong with things, it's how you look at them. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. This is what he sees that he wants, and is admonishing us to see, everything that exists in the world. 2 Peter 3. It's all going to melt. You don't like the Wicked Witch, the West, when you throw water on her, or the East, wherever she's from? You know, melting! You throw the Word of God on the spirits of this world. They melt, brother. Look at verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise. Amen. Now, can you amen this and say, yeah, we, that's me. You know, with the W upside down. Amen. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for it. He's looking for this. Are we looking for this? What's more real to you as a Christian? Looking for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I'm telling you right now, brother, that's not going to be yours.
Right.
It's the whole purpose of the cross.
Right.
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye... look, see that? Looking. There you go. See? What, are you looking at? Look for such things. Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blame. It's not the idea is an activity. The idea has to do with a condition. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written on. Now he's directing you to Paul. Somebody else. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Which they that are unlearned and unstable. Now the Bible says the double-minded man is unstable. Until a Christian understands the double mind, the two natures, and a renewing of the mind from the old to the new. You're unstable. You flip-flop. As they do also the other scriptures. The only time you find scriptures in the Bible where it is a reference to the originals is right here. Onto their own destruction. So you're getting a point here that he's wanting you to recognize how Paul's writings are necessary for a proper biblical understanding and application of other scriptures. If you don't get Paul's writings correct, you're going to put yourself right back under the law,
right,
which is the old glory. That's what we'll be preaching on. That's what I want you to see. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing, you've been looking, ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the ear of the wicked, and that's going to be the ear of the wicked. You're not going to remember certain things that you're supposed to be seeing and a perspective you're supposed to have. Fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace. And we're going to see that grace is very, very protective of glory. God's glory. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To who be glory? To who?
Him.
Come on, brother. To him, we've got to see that. Old glory won't let you see that. I'm telling you, it's an error. It's a patriotic error. We're not going to preach about other countries. America, and draw a parallel. To him be glory. Both now and forever. Amen. Now jump over to 1 Peter. He ends with 2 Peter chapter 3. He begins with 1 Peter chapter 1. Brother, don't be ashamed of what we have in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. We have the truth. Be bold, be confident. 1 Peter chapter 1. Nobody has anything better.
Right.
Don't let anybody kid you. Amen? Nobody does. I mean, you've got two extremes. Martin Luther and Huss and... what was the other morning... the stars of the Reformation. I forget the other fellow's name. But the three of them, they fanned in the coal and the fires of the Reformation. And brother, the answer to that from the devil and his people was Thomas Torquemada. Spanish Inquisition. Just start killing them. Torturing them, make them a can. But they had something in common, these two extremes. You know what they had in common? What could they possibly have in common? They all died. 7 billion people on this planet, brother. I'm talking about myriads of variations throughout this whole world. Colors and cultures and languages and jobs and thoughts and views and beliefs. On they, everybody on this planet has one thing in common. They're all going to die.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. Now, what kind of fellow would you think I was if I had the cure for cancer and I didn't go around telling people? I mean, a certain sure enough proof that I could cure cancer. Well, I'll tell you, but you got to give me money. What kind of preacher would that be? Amen? You've got a lot of people that are doing stuff like that. I want you to know, as a Christian, I have the cure for sin. You should be able to say you have it too. It is the cross. It's an understanding of the cross based on Paul's writings. And until you have that, you're just in bondage to old glory, even if you're saved. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's look at this in verse 4. Well, Peter talks about, obedience of the faith. And he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. Mm-hmm. This is God's glory. Reserved, and he's going to give you this comparison, reserved in heaven for you. Pick up verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. In verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Mm. Now he's going to give you a comparison of two glories. Mm-hmm. An old and a new. Mm. Right here, verse 24. For all flesh is as grass and the glory. You got God's glory? Mm-hmm. You got man's glory. The glory of man is the flower of grass. I mean, it's so simple. You know it's true. You could just go through a list of any category of athletes, of politicians, of wealthy people, so on. Just go right on down the line of what you consider success and go through the list of the whole litany group of people. So on. They all are either dead or going to die. You know they're going to die because they're dying. Amen? It's man at his best state is altogether vanity. Everything, all the glory of man, everything is just vanity. It's fading. Not God's glory. Old glory is fading. You can't live on the past. Not walking with God. God's the eternal I am. It's present tense. You can't be satisfied in victory that you received in behalf, in your stead, behalf of what Christ did on the cross. Oh boy, that's good enough to be saved, but not to walk with God.
Yeah, right.
Need to understand something. All flesh is grass. The glory of man is the flower of grass. It's so short. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. He says when he quotes it in Isaiah, it's quoted from, it's faded. But the word of our Lord, the Lord, endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And one other verse in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. See that, Christian? You're a peculiar people. You're a holy nation. We're pilgrims. And I understand patriotism. And we're going to see the flaw of patriotism. Because on a political, governmental, citizenship perspective, patriotism is loyalty.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It could be a very good thing. It can also be a bad thing. When it's based on the old, never sees the new. Amen? He says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And I want you to get that, because pilgrims are not without home there and route home. Mm-hmm. I'm not confused. I don't know what you're looking for as a Christian. I'm looking for Christ to return and take me home.
Amen.
This world is not my home.
Yeah.
I'm just a passing through. That's not just a song, brother.
Right.
That's a song of a heart that was inspired by God to put it to music and melody. Mm-hmm. Amen? We're not without home. We're en route home. If that's not real, then there's something wrong. God is a very protective God, a jealous God of His love for you and the glory He wants you to see and understand. But it's His glory, not yours. Let's quickly bow our heads. Lord, please, please, please. We need you to meet with us just to give us some understanding, Lord. To keep me from confusing something that's so simple and plain. Lord, that Christians won't be in bondage to a false premise of loyalty that doesn't allow them to see the new glory, trapped in an old glory, thinking it's honorable to you when it's not, Lord. I pray to be a voice today that would point people to the cross in a new light. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Before you misunderstand me or allow it, Semper Fi is the motto of the U.S. Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Always faithful. Understand it. Recognize it. Amen. In 1800s, early 1800s, there was a man who was a shipmaster in Salem, Massachusetts. His name was Captain William Driver. Had a ship called the Charles Doggett. Amen. And he was on a journey to pick up mutineers from the Bounty. At that point in time, that's what took place. He was given a gift, measuring 10 feet by 17 feet, having, I think it was around 24 stars on it at that time, that's all it was, with a little insignia, a nautical insignia, based on what it was for. It was the United States of America flag. And he put that thing up and set sail on that ocean, and that breeze just began to slap. I'm 10 foot by 17 foot, pretty big. I said, just slap it back. When he looked at it, he said, oh, glory. Wow. And from that time forth, it became a growing cliche that is probably the most common, the common wording used for our United States American flag. Amen. Mm-hmm. And he loved that flag and so on and so forth. He retired and went down to Tennessee, and then it wasn't long after that you had the Civil War. And he knew what they would do if the Southerners got a hold of that, so he hit it tight. I think he knitted it up in a quilt, something like that. He hit it from during the Civil War till he was set free, and then finally was set free, brought it back out, and all the soldiers in the regiment, that freedom, they all began to rejoice that they pulled that thing up. They all said, they all began to call it at that point in time, Old Glory. He died and was buried somewhere down there. His grave is one of the, I think it's only three or so graves in the United States of America where an act of Congress allows our flag to be fully raised 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. There are only a few people that's allowed for in honor of him. Amen. And before he died, he turned that over to his daughter, the Old Glory, and she eventually gave it to the Smithsonian. Now it's just it's something America has as one of its most treasured artifacts. But you're not even allowed to take pictures of it anymore. It can't be unfolded full length, so on and so forth. It's a symbol. It's an icon. It's an artifact. It's representative of what America was, what God intended it to be, what we still want it to be, but it's not. And you are kidding yourself if you think it is. I understand you have a 4th of July message and you tailor a message to the greatness of our country, and I love our country and I'm proud to be part of our country. You know, when we have a president of the United States that is a wicked, evil man. And they took statistics, so on and so forth. They've got 90-some-odd% of people that are quote-unquote African Americans. A great many of them are Christians. And you know, Martin Luther's one of the greatest comments anybody's ever made when it comes to racism is, I just want people basically to judge me based on the character, the content of my character, not the color of my skin. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you something. Why did those 90-some-odd percent, a great many of them that are Christians, vote for Obama, President Obama? It wasn't because of the content of his character. He's a hardcore, partial birth abortionist. You don't do that because you're a Christian. They put something higher. Their patriotism, their loyalty is blinded by the color of their skin. There's no different from Americans. Oh, red, white, and blue. And the color of that flag, there's nothing America can't do. Amen. We're God's country. No, we're not. Don't tell me we are, brother. Oh, I don't want to hear that. Come on. Let's be real here. And open our eyes and look and see. Amen. America's like different than no other country. Amen. Every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. Don't tell me that's not what you're watching right in front of your eyes. Yes, it is. Amen. United States of America's greatness isn't based on the Bill of Rights or the Constitution or the White House or Congress or the rule of law as interpreted by the Supreme Court. Amen. The United States of America isn't great because of the Liberty Bell of our education system, or conservatism, capitalism, the Tea Party, talk radio, or the red, white, and blue, have any other colors you want mixed in our society and culture. That's not why we're great. We were great because of the faith of our founding fathers. Right. Amen? Yes. You get rid of the Bible and the Constitution means nothing. Amen? Whether you're right or left, conservatism isn't a solution to the problems of this country. Come on, brother! Amen? Aren't you sick of trying to do that as a Christian? Conservatism and trying to live, that's not the solution to sin in your life. It's the cross. Oh, glory. It's just become a symbol, an icon. emblematic of what we once were, amen? Our past salvation, Christians need to get hold of, isn't the basis of walking in the Spirit. It's understanding and knowing and fellowshipping with our present Savior. And don't get me wrong, patriotism and loyalty, that's a good thing. Anybody going to be, you're going to be a good employee, you've got to be loyal, man. You're going to be a good husband or wife or father. Happy Father's Day, brethren. You're one crummy father if you're not loyal to your children and your family. Amen. Said it, didn't I? You're going to amen that? Amen. The father gives up his rights for his enjoyment, for his family. Amen. So does a mother. But the father's the head, and he needs to hear this through the ears in his head. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! I mean, work. It's good to be loyal at work. It's good to be loyal with your family, loyal with your friends. But there comes a point in time where you can't be blind. Amen? Brother, old glory, rest in the past. You can't continue to fellowship. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Mm-hmm. Friendships at some point in time may have to say. You may have to leave a church at some point in time. Are you so established and this is the way it has to be? Amen? As a church. That's what denominationalism is all about. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me it's not. There are no flags in heaven, brother. Amen? Right. Just the cross people are shouting about. Wow. Just the blood of Jesus Christ people are redeemed by. Right. Praise the Lord. If there was a country that could have been honored by God to be a quote-unquote Christian country, how we use the word, you know, kind of loosely. Amen? Would have been Israel. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me what. They had the supernatural workings of God and the miracles and the prophets and the Bible and the covenants and the one-on-one direct revelation of God Himself appearing to them throughout their whole history. They couldn't see the new glory. They got trapped and bound in the old glory. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. God's glory they thought was theirs. And they couldn't see. Christians fall into the same trap of patriotism, loyalty to a denomination. Man, that's not what we're about here.
Right.
Amen. We want to break free from that. Look over there in Luke chapter 4. Let me show you something. America, land that I love. But I'll tell you, I see what's coming down the pipe. Amen. Citizens of heaven, you can't rightly divide and you can't rightly abide if you don't know Paul's writing.
Mm-hmm.
Luke chapter 4. But what you're going to see here, you're going to see in two hands, on two sides, you're going to see Jesus Christ being challenged by Satan. And every time Christ responds, and this is just a walkthrough, and I'm only going to give you three very brief points, believe me. You just got to get there first. The points will be very short. But I want you to get this background. Here's Satan. And tempting Jesus Christ. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, you can read the book. This is the book of Deuteronomy in response. The book of Deuteronomy is the law under review. To teach you what it means to renew, based on the law. And so what he gets here is he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That's exactly what happened with Israel. That's exactly what happens in your Christian life. Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand that, then you're still under the old glory. Christianity has been a night neatly folded up, triangular trinity shaped looking flag to boast about and show the people about. Yeah. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Not flapping in Greece. Mm-hmm. Can't anymore. Why? Because it's fading. That's what it's intended to do. The law was intended to fade, pass away. Amen? And be destroyed. Wait a minute, Brother John. We'll see it. Amen? It's destroyed by being fulfilled. Second, Luke chapter 4. There he is here, and he's going to go up. He's hungry, and here comes the devil. Verse 3. It begins and ends with this challenge. Trying to get Jesus Christ to prove himself. Praise the Lord, man. God does not have to prove himself. He does want everybody to get saved. He does care the decisions people make in life. But, brother, whether you get saved or don't get saved, he's still God. He doesn't change. He's the same forevermore. It's his glory that you'll not know and see. His grace won't let you. If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Of course, Christ's response is every ball that the devil throws is like a curveball. Every ball Christ throws is like a fastball, straight. There's no curve. When God throws, brother, there's no curves to the Word of God. The straight. Now, let me tell you something. Every straight fastball is always ahead of a curveball. That straight. When you walk the straight now, you're always ahead of the curveballs. Amen. God allows curveballs to come your way to get you back on the straight and narrow. Teach you something in the process. Bear some fruit in the process. Amen. You've got that fastest, they call him the Cuban Missile Crisis. The Cuban Flamethrower, Albertan Arnaldus Chapman De La Cruz, Major League Baseball. 106 miles per hour. I don't know about you. I'm done. I can never hit something like that. Fastest pitch, and just throws it straight over the plate. That's all Christ is going to do. It's coming, brother. When it comes, it's going to come quickly. Amen. Nobody's going to be able to touch it. When Christ finally blows that trumpet, he's coming. You look through here, and every time the devil speaks, Christ responds from the book of Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm. Let's look at this law. Old glory is going to become new. And he tells them that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Mm-hmm. And then the devil takes him up in verse 5, a high mountain, showing unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said, all this power will I give thee, and the glory. See, it's a glory swap. They got all these swap shows and swap meets on. It's a glory swap. That's what he wants. Trade off the new for the old. How foolish can you be, Galatians? And the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will. See, he only has the power of death as long as you're under the law. That's as long as that's it. Because the law condemns you to death.
That's right.
But and the glory of them, he is king over a dying kingdom. The Lord says, take it. It's all yours. For that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. So he recognizes this, and Christ responds after he challenges him. Here's the condition. This is what you got to get, because it's a trade-off. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. I want you to realize that every person in here, as you grow up, most people are more than just little kids. You're going to discover things about how you were made. Whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. But as a Christian, you begin to apply certain principles and precepts that are found in the Word of God. Put the pieces of the puzzle together. But you'll discover things about how you're made and things that, you know, that you're attracted to and you gravitate to, so on and so on. And at some point in time, your gifts and your talents are going to be challenged to use them for wrong reasons. To do something with them that will glorify you and not glorify God. You're going to have to make decisions of what you're going to do with that. And that's exactly what's happening here. See? He says, if thou therefore, it's a pact, whether it's conscious or unconscious, it's some type of free market exchange, amen, where you're bartering with Satan to maximize your gifts and your talents for glory. Old glory. Not the new. God will not give you the new glory. He will not give you the glory of Christ and let it rest upon you until you let old glory go where it needs to go.
Amen.
We say that fades. It's going to fade. So he says, in verse 7, if thou therefore will worship me, Jesus responds, get thee behind me, Satan. Now you know who he says that to verbatim? Simon Peter.
Yeah.
If thou get thee behind me, Satan. Wow, that's pretty strong language. When he's talking to Peter, shows you the same thing. Peter was not for God's glory. I'll fight for you, Lord. He's out for his own glory. I'll serve you, Lord. I won't deny you, Lord. It's his own glory. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said, here he is up there. And he said, God, it's almost like, you know, you ever get up way high, it's like you're the wind, and it's like there's got to be a balancing act going on here. If thou be the Son, it begins and ends, the same challenge. You got to prove yourself. Do you feel you got to prove yourself as a Christian? Probably that's the old glory.
Yeah.
That's not the new glory. There's nothing to prove. Amen. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. Jesus Christ responds in verse 12, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The devil ends his temptation right there, and he goes on to do other things, bother other people. He'll come back to Christ in another point in time. But I want you to see that this same sort of temptation that Jesus Christ was going through is something on a national level people go through. And it's something on this national level that people go through where the devil offers trade-offs. It's happening all the time. But that doesn't help you and I unless we can recognize how that affects us as individuals. Because it does. And I want you to see this aspect of loyalty and patriotism. That's healthy. That's good. You need it to be good in a lot of aspects of practical life to be responsible. But it comes to a point in time where it's blinded when it's contrary to the Word of God and what you're asked to do. Amen? And that's what you need to see and understand with America, because I'm telling you right now, you don't need to try to fight with our country. They're fighting with God. Yes, they are. They have put up arms against God. That's why prayer is illegal in the school.
Yeah.
Come on, brother. That's why you can watch American Talent and see some filthy dog pig like, what's that guy that's on there that with the black hair, curly black hair? Stern, Howard Stern. He's a filthy dog pig!
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know that by watching America. America has got talent, would you?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't. They want you thinking a certain way. They got other people that are that aren't worth the time of day. You're Tim Tebow's. Whoever they are, Christians are over here. You've got these other people that are elevated. They're God, good, godly people. Amen. All in the name of children and entertainment. And brother, they blaspheme God. Filthy, I'm talking about. Amen. Now let's look at this blind patriotism of glory that doesn't let Christians see and understand. Look at John chapter 15. The Bible talks about loving not your lives to the death. Well, imagine somebody saying you could be saying, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Imagine somebody saying, it has to do with discipline, being a disciple. And this whole discipleship and discipline, it involves a two-way street. He wants to abide in you, and he wants you to abide in him. It's a two-way street. But I don't know if you've ever noticed, when you're on a two-way street, you go the wrong direction. Now, can't you?
Yeah.
I've done it many a times. One of my kids called me up. I'm out here in Hartford in this bad section. How'd you get there? Took a wrong turn. Hey, man, just kept going. Next thing you know, I think it was Charity. She's out in this really bad area. Amen. Two-way street. Old glory will bring you down a certain direction. New glory will bring you the opposite way. It will, brother. It will. The law will bring you in one direction, and grace will bring you in another. The law is either going to condemn you until your discipleship becomes proud and tainted with make-believe concepts of God being pleased with you, comparing yourselves among yourselves, or it's going to drive you down that road where you're so destitute you just get off the side of the road, sit in some rut somewhere, suck your thumb. Man, I'm just a crummy old Christian, good for nothing.
That's right,
man.
That's right.
That's not where the opposite direction. That's what repentance is. It's the opposite direction. Christ is the only way. John chapter 15. Somebody says you could be saved apart from Jesus Christ or on top of Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? He's the head. Amen. Somebody says I can live for God. I can abide in Christ apart from Jesus Christ or on top of Jesus. What are you talking about? The life of Christ is the life of Christ. That's what abiding is. That's what the Christian life is. That's what living in the Spirit is. In John chapter 15, he talks about the glory that God wants you to... In verse 6, if a man abide not in me... See that? Verse 7, if he abide in me... See that? He wants to abide in you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you... See, it's a two-way street. He just doesn't want to abide. He wants you to learn and discover what it means to abide in Him. This is how God is glorified. He said, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. If you don't understand this, then it's old glory. It's just a folded up remnant, a relic of the past. You're celebrating what Christ did. Amen? In the past. Now, is that enough to be saved? Well, yeah, it's enough to be saved, but brother, that's not what you're supposed to be celebrating over.
Amen.
Not as a child of God. You should be celebrating you're a child of God.
Amen.
You don't celebrate you're a child of God by what Christ did, but you have new life. Amen? I mean, unfortunate how people lose young children, and all they have is pictures of the past. Brother, these aren't pictures of this is a real life Christian experience, this business of being a child of God. Look at 2 Corinthians 3. This is old glory. Same erosion that's taking place on a nation. It's happening in Christians. We want the Spirit of God like it was in the past, and the Reformation said, don't understand, the movement of God right now has to do with the Holy Ghost teaching us what it means to walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it's the old glory. And Christians are slaving over disciplining themselves. Okay. The patriotism of being what you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He said in verse number 7, but if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones, that's the law, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away.
Amen.
How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Verse 11, for that which is done away was glorious, much more. That's the much more of Romans 5,
yeah,
brother.
Amen.
Much more that which remaineth is glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine celebrating now? And every time I have the 4th of July, the memory of America's greatness, it always stirs and emotionally touches my heart.
Yeah.
But brother, that's not America anymore, going forward. If you just rest in the past of your Christianity, brother, it's going to get stale.
Yeah.
It will get stale and dull and erode, and the best you'll have is a disciplined Christian life.
That's right.
Amen. Never understanding that's old glory. It's passed away. New glory, he says in verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn, see, it's a two-way street, to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Mm-hmm.
That's the liberty God wants you to have. That's the image you're changed in verse 18, the end of the verse. You're changed into the same image from glory to glory. Old glory to new glory.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not through the law.
Yeah.
It's not, the law's faded away. It's fulfilled in Christ. It's the law's... It's over. Oh, are you without law? No, I'm under grace. Law is completely fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Learning what it means to live a victorious life, and that is wonderful. It's not blind patriotism. The next thing is a friend. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in time, a friend may have to hurt. The faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Yeah.
That can even be your children or your parents. People, you're very close to a pastor. Jesus Christ says, you're my friends. I've showed you things. Because you're my friends. Friends, they should tell each other secrets. God tells you secrets about himself. If you're God's friend, are you hiding secrets from him? You got to wonder. You got to question. What are you hiding from God? What kind of glory do you still want? Amen? There is no glory. And yet, this is what you're looking at with friends. They've got that one of the first... patted on the back knight orders in America was the Knights of Pythias, and their acronym is FCB, friendship charity benevolence, FCB, and it has to do with the Greek story legend of Damon and Pythian, who were living in an area where the ruler at the time charged Pythian with something that was not patriotic and not loyal, and he sentenced him to death, and he says, okay, I understand that, and he yielded to it, and he asked, I just want one favor. I've got something to take care of over in a distant country. Would you let me go? And he said, well, absolutely not, I won't do that. You're sentenced to death. And he said, well, I promised to return. And he said, well, I can't let you do that. And his friend, it's supposed to be the great illustration of loyalty, his friend Damon, stood up and said, I'll stand in his place, in his stead. He doesn't return, you can kill me in his place, his guilt. Amen? And so off he went, and neither one of them thought he'd come back. Damon began to question it because it was late. It was ready for him to be crucified or killed in his place. And then eventually Pythian comes back and asks, what took you so long? He said, well, I was kind of trying to return and I was hindered and slowed down by pirates that captured my ship, so on and so forth. But he realized that loyalty to a friend involved keeping your word. You ever feel like a friend threw you under the bus? you ever feel like that? Well, brother, that's what we do with Christ when we worship him through the old glory.
Yeah.
That's the old school bus, brother.
Yeah.
You just throw him under the bus.
Yeah.
See, I worship you, God, through the law. Brother, the law. He doesn't want us to... And this fellow came back and he was so impressed that he set them both free. Set them both free. That's how that story goes. God doesn't set you free by standing in your stead so you could do whatever you want to do. A true friend said, I'm sticking by him. Amen. A friend sticking closer than a brother.
Uh-huh.
And he goes right back. And he says, I'm here. He said, that's what I want. I want the cross to teach you what it means to be drawn back to where I saved you in the first place. That is your freedom. That has to do with friendship, brother. You don't want friendship that's under the old glory. You want the new glory. You don't want discipline that has to do with the old glory. You want new glory. And I want you to look at this. It has to do with temperance. Look in this is in Galatians chapter 5. This is irony. When you read through history and you look up the temperance movement, you know what you read about? You read about people being put under control. It's not freedom to have moderation. It's forbiddance. You're not allowed to drink alcohol. That's the great temperance movement in America. Amen? What you have to understand is temperance is, it's right there in Galatians 5 somewhere. You go through in Galatians 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is, you may see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, somewhere. Goodness, faith, there it is, 28, meekness, oh, that's it. It's the last one on the list.
Right.
Isn't that something? How wonderful for that last fruit to be tempered. It packages them all together. Keeps them balanced. Temperance. You have to understand that there's a time when you're faithful and loyal to your country. There's a time when you're not. Brother, the very birth and existence of America is based on that. Do you realize that? And I'm telling you, that's what's getting ready to happen. And that's what needs to happen with Christians in their concept of church and Christianity. Amen. You're going too far to an extreme in your loyalty to a local church. Or a pastor becomes your God. Something's wrong with that, brother.
Amen.
He's made of the same dirt you and I are. They don't like to hear that. But I say that because that's what's run amok in the church today. Pastors lord over their flock. We look at the people that they arrange marriages for, preachers arrange marriages. Christians do the same thing. He has to approve of your marriage?
Right.
That's what you got parents for, brother.
Yeah,
amen. That's what they have the Word of God for. They want counsel from a preacher, that's fine. You don't need my permission to marry anybody. Amen. That's my opinion, I'll give it to you. Amen. But you don't need that. I'm a daddy, but I'm not your daddy. God's your daddy.
Amen.
Happy Father's Day, Lord. Amen. Don't we have the best God in the world?
Amen.
Amen. Temperance. Brother, it puts them all together. They say the great, here I can see Christ on that pinochle. That's one game of cards I never could figure out. Amen. But there he is, and you got the wind blowing him back and forth. You've got a balance. Amen. They say the greatest on the... World Book of Records of juggler, the greatest amount of balls somebody could have at one time was 10. That's at least what I read. I think early 1900s or late 1800s. Nobody did. But you've got the most entertaining juggling act that I've seen. It's got tens of millions of hits on YouTube. It's Chris Bliss, and he juggles three balls to the Beatles song, Sweet Pretty Darling, Do Not Cry, I Will Sing You a Lullaby. And he's just juggling that thing going. It's pretty impressive. It's pretty fun to watch, so on and so forth. And look over there in the book of Isaiah. Because temperance has to do with balancing. It has to do with moderation. It has to do with things being kept under control. That's what God teaches you in your life. You can go too far in an extreme in certain ways. That's what Christians get caught up in with old glory. And they begin to discover new glory. You begin to balance law and grace. like a pendulum that gradually comes to rest. And you just walk with you're not afraid of death anymore. Because you've already died. But here is the greatest juggling act ever. Never mind Chrysalis. I'm talking about Christian bliss. It's in Isaiah chapter 23. This is the only time you find a ball in the Bible. I know God loves balls, but you just look out in outer space. Amen. They're all circular. You don't see any diamond or square-shaped planets, do you? Amen. Isaiah chapter 20. The only time you find this is God juggling. Isaiah chapter number 23. Oh, glory. Brother, oh, glory. You have a problem juggling? You ever have a problem juggling all the responsibilities you have in life? You got kids and husband or wife and a job and bills and debts and credit cards and broken doors and leaking roofs and, you know, car problems and a fence that's broken and a driveway that's cracked and needs to be sealed and steps that are crumbling and a door that's falling off the hinges and a toilet that's leaking out the base every time you flush it and all kinds of crazy, crummy things going on. If we all get your job, how do I do this? And I got appointments and I got dates and I got, and I, and you drop them all. Amen. I'm going to make it easy for you. It's the greatest. God takes all the juggling balls you're trying to juggle under the old glory and your own power. He takes and puts them all together in one. This is where you find it in Isaiah 23. Christian bliss, brother. Bring it all to Calvary. Mm-hmm. Never mind, he died for your sins. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
There's more to the Christian life than that. There's life after death.
Amen.
Brother, it's called the resurrection, brother. Isaiah chapter 23, verse number... Oh, it's somewhere in Isaiah 23, verse number 18. Here you go. The only time you find a ball in the Bible. Here's God. I'll tell you how to juggle it. Drop it all. Give it to God. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die. Isaiah 22. Isaiah 22, 18. He will surely violently turn. Let's just juggle that around a little bit here. Chapter 22. Like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die. And there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of thy Lord's house. You've got to let go of the glory of the world. You've got to let go of the old glory. I'm not against being patriotic to America, but I know that Christians are taught blind loyalty to our country. And I'm telling you, just like you're taught blind loyalty to a local church, blind loyalty to a pastor. Don't tell me you're not, because you are. I was for over 20 years of my Christian life. Amen. And I'm going to read you the last verse. It's in Galatians chapter 6. This is what Paul's talking about. It's new glory. Let go of the old. Break free. Then begin to tell others. Paul says in Galatians chapter number 6. Brother, you know, lost people say, all you do is preach against sin and preach against it and save people. All you do is preach against my church and my preacher and my other. No, brother, it's not preaching against nothing. It's preaching Christ.
Amen.
I'm just preaching Christ.
That's right.
If it offends you, it's because it's old glory.
Yeah.
Old glory's over here. All wrapped up in one ball.
Yeah.
Drop them off, Lord. I can't do any of this, God. And just watch him just... walk, brother. Makes it easy, doesn't it? My yoke is easy. Paul said this in Galatians 6, and I'm closing. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter number 6. He says, verse number 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Only that you could put right next to it, they constrain you to be dressed a certain way. They constrain you to listen to certain music. They constrain you to talk a certain way. They constrain you to give a certain amount. They constrain you, no matter what it is, it's the law, it's the old glory.
Mm-hmm.
Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They don't understand it's a two-way street. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire that you have circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. You become a trophy. But God forbid that I should glory. Here's the old for the new. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That's Paul's writings. That's what Peter said, you've got to spend time in.
That's right.
That's the emphasis and the only emphasis on this local church. Amen? Mm-hmm. Getting saved and an act you're saved, what does it mean to die with Christ? Mm-hmm. In the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. It has nothing, and I want nothing it has. He recognizes them both by the cross. Why? Because it's all fading. The old glory, if you're trapped in it, your life's testimony and energies will fade at the judgment seat of Christ. You want to get a hold of that beforehand. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's unfold what belongs to us in Jesus Christ. It's not a faded old remnant in the Smithsonian. Amen? It's the cross, and it needs to be shown to the world around us. Lord, I pray that you would bless this lesson. Please, take it, please. I so desire only one thing for the body that I'm part of in this local assembly, and those that you bring here, when you do, and however long you do, may they hear with faithfulness the only thing that Paul said he would ever glory in again. It's not old glory, Lord. It's the new glory. It's the glory of Jesus Christ. Help us and teach us what it means to consciously recognize the wonderful work of the cross in our lives, where we could say we're dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Christ Jesus. I ask in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, brethren. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.